Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
We begin the final hour of Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. It will be a busy final hour. We'll talk to Joe Rexroad of The Athletic coming up at 2:15, and then right after that, Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports will join us, and we'll be with you for another hour here at Food City, 7350 Clinton Highway in Powell. Heather, we have free registration for your chance to win Bud Light's New Year's in Nashville. Tickets to see Old Crow Medicine Show on New Year's Eve at the Ryman, then the next day, tickets to see the Predators and the Titans on January 2nd, plus $750 cash, all in one big prize from Bud Light.
Yes, it is one huge prize. We appreciate our buddies at Bud Light, and you can stock up Bud Light, the bottles, 24 packs, $22.99. That's your Budweiser, your OG original. They also have specials on Michelob Ultra, Bud Light Peels, or Land Shark. A 12-pack of 12-ounce cans or bottles are $13.99 with your value card. And then Bud Light 12-packs of the 12-ounce cans or bottles, $12.99 with your Food City value card. Food City also shouts to Todd, rolling out the red carpet of hospitality here. It's a beautiful store. He wanted me to make sure and remind everybody, remember, you can't buy wine on Thanksgiving Day, so you got to stock up here at Food City. All the other amazing specials, including pumpkin pie that's in the bakery, fresh baked, $7.99 right here at Food City.
We've had a blast this afternoon. We'll catch you up on what's going on today. The New York Giants had a terrible showing last night against the Buccaneers. Bucs Cruz, we talked about changes probably being needed to be made in New York. Well, one has been made today. The Giants have fired offensive coordinator Jason Garrett.
Yes.
So maybe a move by Joe Judge to try to save his job. Hey, let's make this move and then see if we can turn things around. I'm very skeptical, but Jason Garrett out as the offensive coordinator with the Giants, of course, former head coach with the Cowboys.
Yes, I saw where Kevin Clark from The Ringer had tweeted, it might have been Danny Heifetz, and Clark just retweeted it, but he was like, I wrote this tweet that the Cowboys had fired Jason Garrett, and then I realized, oh, wait, no, that was in the past. This now is the Giants. Both are actually true, so both yep. Both tweets would still play. Terrible. I saw where Kadarius Toney, their first round draft pick, he's got some of the worst targets, the worst target numbers. I think he's in like the bottom 10 in the league, and that was their first round draft pick. So that's also coming out about the offense. It's really interesting what's going on right now with the New York Giants.
Yep. Bucks were able to bounce back after they had had back-to-back losses. So nice win for them against a weaker opponent, no doubt. Basketball is going on all day. We have college football playoff rankings to pay attention to with the final week of the regular season here.
Yeah, final week of the regular season. We'll see what happens with championship weekend and how everything gets sorted out. But we talked about it yesterday during the face-off. Cincinnati has to be in at this point in time. I just don't think there's any way they can keep them out of the top four, and then they've got to go out and finish strong. They've got East Carolina, I think, this week, so definitely cannot stub their toe, but this should be a nice moment right now for Cincinnati football and Luke Fickell.
Yeah, I think so. Your order, would it be Alabama and Ohio State 2 and 3?
I think with
Cincinnati 4, is that right?
Honestly,
I mean, 2 and 3, it doesn't really matter which one's which, I suppose.
Yeah, because they don't have to play Georgia. But when you're thinking of who are the four best teams, right? Georgia definitely number one. I'm honestly, and tell me if I'm wrong here, just by watching the last couple of weeks, Ohio State has been impressive. C.J. Stroud, he overtook the Heisman odds yesterday, those updated odds, and now he's the favorite to win it over Bryce Young. And you just see, and I understand that, you know, Alabama plays in the SEC West. Like, Arkansas gave them a good game. You know, Arkansas had a lot on the line there, so they were excited about that.
Yeah, LSU before that.
Yeah, LSU, that was a bruiser of a game. So I totally recognize where Alabama is playing, but I also have seen what Ohio State has done over the last month, and it's just nothing short of impressive. It seems like if Georgia is going to have any sort of kryptonite this year, it's going to be that Ohio State offense.
The odds makers essentially give three schools a chance to win the national title. Georgia is at is on the minus side, minus 120 the odds I'm seeing here to win the title. Ohio State plus 300, Alabama plus 400, Cincinnati the fourth best odds at plus 3500. So nowhere in contention with Georgia, Ohio State, and Alabama, Michigan, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, Oregon after that. And I would tend to agree. I can't imagine anybody but Georgia, Ohio State, or Alabama actually winning the title.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. But you know what? And I don't want any shade to like be thrown at Cincinnati. We'll see what they do when they get in there. It'll be interesting. But there's been other years where teams 3 and 4 really didn't have a shot at winning the title.
Almost every year.
Yeah, so I just, you know, if people are like, well, see, that's why they don't belong in there. It's like, no, they've earned it. Now let's see what they do. And all these games are not played in a vacuum. They're not played on paper. You know, they go out on a real field and play them. So we'll see, you know, hopefully what they would stack up like against Georgia. But think about that story. If Cincinnati was able to beat Georgia the first round of the playoff, that would just be nuts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it'd be the biggest upset of the college football playoff and one of the biggest in history. I just – somebody out there will bet on it. I won't be the person doing
not
that.
Not even a dollar? Yeah. You could have a great return on that money line with just $1.
No, I'll probably bet Georgia. And, you know, Bama, I don't think it's going to win the national title either, but it did accomplish something this past weekend. That leads us into today's pop-up fact. Heather, I think some Alabama fans feel like it's a down season. They still only have one loss with one more game to go against Auburn, so an 11th win likely this upcoming weekend. Alabama tied Florida State with the most consecutive 10-win seasons, now 14 consecutive 10-plus win seasons for Alabama. That ties Florida State from 1987 to 2000, so a season away from setting a new record for most consecutive 10-win seasons for the Tide.
Just unreal. I still cannot believe what Alabama has been able to do. And you go back to, I'm not going to be Alabama's coach, to the woman that just like ran to Nick Saban to give him a hug saying, now we got us a football coach, like at the press conference. I mean, just like, all this crazy stuff. They were right to be so excited, Josh, because he really is the greatest of all time. There's the GOAT.
Yep. So quite the down season for Alabama. It's 14th consecutive season with at least 10 wins. That is our pop-up fact. It's presented by Burton McKinnish Law.
Burton McKinnish Law, with offices in Maryville, Sevierville, Western North Carolina, and Southeastern Kentucky. Whenever you have a problem from a legal issue, family law and divorce, criminal defense, DUI, Social Security, or personal injury, it's time for you to trust Burton McKinnish Law. Visit burtonmckinnish.com.
It's been quite a run for Tennessee seniors who will celebrate Senior Day at Neyland Stadium this upcoming weekend. Joe Rexrode wrote about it today for The Athletic. He'll join us when we come back with 45 minutes of Sports 180 remaining today here at Food City. And we would love to see you here on Clinton Highway, 7350 Clinton Highway at Food City, with free registration for your chance to win Bud Light's New Year's in Nashville, right here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Welcome back into Sports 180. Thank you for being with us on this Tuesday afternoon. We're on Twitter at Sports 180. We'll be here for another 45 minutes on Clinton Highway in Powell. We're at Food City. You can stop by and register right here inside the store for a chance to win Bud Light's New Year's in Nashville. We'll draw two qualifiers at the end of the show for next week's grand prize giveaway. And we head to Nashville to talk to our next guest, Joe Rexrode from TheAthletic.com on the radio each morning on 102.5 The Game there in Nashville. And, Joe, we appreciate the time, as always. Read your story this morning and really enjoyed it, writing about Tennessee seniors who have, they've gone through a number of things. I think that's fair to say over the last several years. What did you discover? What stood out in putting this story together, talking about the Tennessee players who will go through Senior Day this upcoming weekend?
Well, thanks for having me, guys, and thanks for the kind words. And, yeah, it's, you know, it's really interesting when you think about the 11 players, you know, who are seniors, obviously, on this team, who have been there all the way, you know, through the three coaches. I mean, you don't have too many, although I suppose it's probably more frequent now in the last 20 years in college football that you'll have, you know, three coach players. And, of course, it would technically be five if you count the interims. Not that Kevin still actually did anything, but, you know, he technically five. But you know, these guys, you talk about not just the coaching changes, but the circumstances around the coaching changes and all of the ups and downs and what they kind of signed up for to what they went through. Pretty remarkable. And then, yeah, one thing that stood out is just how gratifying it has been for them to have this season. This coaching staff, this success in the field, I think individually in particular, you know, with some of the guys featured in this story, you know, you think about Matthew Butler and Jay Blakely, you know, those guys have been around a long time and they've, I think, taken a big step as players this year. I think they're a big part of that defense overachieving, and it's been a payoff for them. But also, of course, the story deals with a lot of real life stuff too, which of course it's very easy for all of us to forget that, you know, these aren't robots running around in your favorite uniform. They're people, and they have their own stuff going on. And there was some serious stuff going on with some guys on this team.
Yeah, I'm always fascinated, especially with the guys that are freshmen during these changes and what they think, because this is your first real taste of the real world. I've talked multiple times about seeing Tyler Bray the night that Lane Kiffin quit, and just he looked so young and deer in the headlight. I mean, his eyes were so wide open as he's watching all this unfold. Did you notice when you were putting this story together any like maturity moments that came out of these guys witnessing, man, this is a business, this is serious, and maybe what have we got ourselves into a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of, I think, especially like Shiano Sunday, it's interesting thinking about that from like a player's perspective. And I didn't write a ton of this, but just basically the idea, you know, Theo Jackson said, you know, but like you go do the workouts and you like put your earphones on, you know, like you just try to like block it out. But like you think about from the player, obviously the media reports that Shiano was happening, fans, and we all know what happened that day. But, you know, for players, you know, you're trying to get as much intel as you can, trying to figure out who your next coach is going to be, who the assistant's coming to might be, all that stuff. And then to just sit there and sort of be part of the program but have no idea where it may be heading in the next couple of weeks. You know, I mean, honestly, I hadn't thought a ton about that from a player perspective, but what a ride. So I think a lot of it is like, you know, look, I think staying at Knoxville, one, this current staff, I think Rodney Garner was one real draw, and he's a very much featured in this story, the D-line coach who, I mean, it's pretty remarkable the impact that guy has on people, you know, in a short period of time. But I think also this speaks to Knoxville, the school, the support people who have been consistent throughout, and then their own relationships. I mean, you know, you got some guys here who are, of course, going to be lifelong friends, and that helps you through all that. And then when you do have real life things, you know, you can kind of distinguish between that and quote unquote football adversity.
We're talking to Joe Rexroad from theathletic.com, and that's where you can go to read the story that we're talking about Tennessee seniors getting ready for the final game of the regular season. Of course, a question about what happens next. Will this time be different, that the next few years go in a better direction for Tennessee football? Do you think that that's the case? How can you tell what happens next for Tennessee?
Well, I'm real hesitant to, you know, make predictions on where things could go. I mean, my gosh. I mean, just this year we see, like, what a bad month can do to Dan Mullen. And it's funny, even putting the story together, Josh, it is – I kind of forgot, like Butch Jones was still on top of the world. And then 4 weeks later, basically, he was on the hot seat, you know, in 2016. I mean, it just takes like a couple really bad Saturdays sometimes to do you in. So at some point, you know, Josh Heupel is going to face, okay, when's Atlanta happening, you know? When's the top 10 class happening? I mean, these things are going to – the pressure and all that stuff will rise. But, I mean, I don't know how you – as a Tennessee fan, couldn't be encouraged by this season and what you've seen. And I do think there's some lasting power in the way the staff has done things. I'd definitely like to see this defense with more talent and depth. And look, this offense with Josh Heupel at the controls as the head coach, there's nothing, you know, gimmicky about what it's doing. It is just it executes at a very high level with terrific game planning and play calling, and that's going to continue. And so I don't know what that means in terms of, I mean, to me, if you want to talk about like the SEC East, I think it's great for Tennessee if Florida keeps floundering, and I have no idea who the heck they're going to hire. And maybe that helps you, you know, catch up with them. But you still, I mean, it's Georgia and everybody else. So I can't sit here and say, you know, it's just such a gap right now. I mean, in particular this year, but just in general, they are stacking those classes just like Alabama is. And that's just, I mean, that's just a tough deal for anybody else.
Let me ask you this, Joe, whether it's real or it's just my perception, Josh Heupel does seem to have a pretty laid-back personality. Do you think that's going to also play into his ability to have some longevity here? Because I think that's also kind of what bit Dan Mullen is. He just had an unlikable personality there at the end, and then with all the losses, it's easy to pile on.
Yeah, that's a good point, Heather, and I think that's very true. I mean, you're seeing so much, even before he got fired, so much backlash toward Dan Mullen. And I think ultimately that catches up with you. Like, you know, think of the last two coaches. I think Butch Jones, I mean, I've always thought and wrote at the time, like Butch Jones was too obsessed with like what everybody was saying and media and all this stuff. And I think he got his eye off the ball a little bit. And then I think Pruitt, frankly, rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Not everybody, but, you know, I just don't think he quite had the ability to be the kind of CEO that you need. I think Heupel has a great demeanor for handling this job, one, because I think you've got to have some perspective, some life balance, and some thick skin, I think, to be in that job for a long time. So that, I think that's a big asset. Now, does that help him succeed in the job? You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, we'll see what kind of players he can get in here. And you know, I really don't know that. But I do think that it's been a refreshing personality change in the program. And I think, this, again, I mentioned Ronnie Gardner earlier. He's not the only one on this staff. I think the players really appreciate. And that's, like a lot of things this year, encouraging.
Go to theathletic.com. Recommend you read the story. You'll enjoy it if you're a Tennessee fan there. Keep up with Tennessee Vols coverage and what's going on with the Titans. Not a good weekend this past weekend, but still a good position for the Titans. You can read all that coverage at theathletic.com from Joe Rexrow. Joe knows a busy day today. Thanks so much for taking some time to join us. Hope you and your family have a great Thanksgiving this week as well.
Hey, thanks so much. Always love coming on with you guys. Happy Thanksgiving to both you and all of you.
Thanks, Joe. Joe Rexrode, our friend from The Athletic on the radio in Nashville as well in the mornings on 102.5 The Game. All guests join us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We have 30 minutes remaining. Heather, before we get to the Midday Sportsman, how about another giveaway? The next caller to 656 wins a $25 gift card to Papa Murphy's.
Papa Murphy's, $25. It's on us. Perfect for football season. Actually, perfect for the end of Thanksgiving week. You can join the Take and Bake Revolution, where they actually make the pizza for you. You bake it to perfection when you get home. It's going to be a wonderful week of eating some turkey. And then towards the weekend, you're going to want some pizza there. And Papa Murphy's absolutely has the best with four locations, one on Brooklawn Street, North Broadway in Knoxville, Clinton Highway in Knoxville, and Middlebrook Pike. So there is one Papa Murphy's near you.
That's right. And be listening the rest of the week. 656 wins. The first caller right now wins a $25 gift card to Papa Murphy's. As we have 30 minutes remaining, we'll talk to Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports when we come back. We'll hit a Midday Sports Minute here as Sportsman Eddie continues at 7350 Clinton Highway in Powell. We are inside Food City with your opportunity to register to win Bud Light's New Year's in Nashville getaway for the end of December. We'll come back here with Jay Busby on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Welcome back into Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. 30 minutes remain until Sports Talk will take over. That means 30 more minutes for you to stop by here at the Food City on Clinton Highway, where we are, for your chance to register to win Bud Light's New Year's in Nashville. That's tickets to see Old Crow Medicine Show New Year's Eve at the Ryman, then the next day tickets to the Predators Blackhawks game the next day on January 2nd, tickets to see the Titans and the Dolphins, plus $750 cash, all of that in one big prize from Bud Light. And that music you heard a moment ago means it's time to welcome to the show Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Jay, good afternoon. How are you?
dang, oh man, I want to win that contest. I was just in Nashville. I didn't do any of that stuff. I want all of that. That's a good one.
Well, you know, I can't say this on the record, certainly, but off the record, Jay, if you Venmo me some money, we'll see what we can do, okay?
That's right. Yeah, payola be damned, you know, see what you can do to hook me up.
No doubt about it. Don't want to break any rules in the process. Hey, Jay, it's a wild sports week, so you have all these sports that are going on at the same time, closing out college football season. Thanksgiving, you get NFL football kind of this week. But also the match. Let's not forget about the match and this rivalry that's been going on where they didn't really face off much on the course. Bryson and Brooks, you wrote about it. What do you think about the match heading into the end of the week?
Yeah, it's a strange little thing because these guys have what passes for a rivalry in golf, which is really just kind of people saying nasty things passive-aggressively to each other. It's really, I mean, honestly, seriously, it's about as legitimate of a beef as I wrote in my column today as getting mad at the person in your office that steals your food out of the fridge, you know, or doesn't refill the coffee maker. This is just like, it's a workplace debate. There's nothing real here except for hurt feelings. And yet in golf, where everybody has to keep this stiff upper lip and has to be well-mannered, this is the equivalent of an MMA fight. So it's a strange thing because these guys really don't seem to like each other at all legitimately, but they're working against the nature of their sport in that they can't really go off the way that you would if you were, you know, in the NFL or the NBA.
Hey, Jay, is this causation or correlation? Tiger Woods posts a video of him hitting shots earlier this week. He had the leg brace on, or at least the sleeve, and then there was a memo sent out to tour players where FedEx, the bonus cup pool, is going up from 60 million to 75 million. Official prize money is going up 367 million to 427 million, and average purse sizes are going up to 9.1 million. Correlation or causation?
Causation dating back to 1997 or so. I mean, Tiger Woods is the guy that has absolutely revolutionized the sport in a way that almost nobody has revolutionized their sport across any sport. And the amount of money that he's brought in is just phenomenal. The fact that it's still continuing to flow in is a great sign for golf. I mean, as golf is trying simultaneously to reach out to a broader and more diverse audience, it's seeing a whole lot of money coming in from exactly these kinds of old school revenue producing and revenue supplying sponsors. I mean, it's great news for the players, obviously. What makes it tough is that it kind of removes one of the big incentives for winning at this point, in that you can make an unbelievably lucrative life playing and getting no majors at all, being in 10th place in every tournament. So it's going to be fascinating to see how long these guys stick around for their careers, what will constitute a Hall of Fame career going forward, because it is going to be about pride. It's not going to be about playing for the money anymore.
We're talking to Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports. Jay, are the Chiefs back, which is kind of a funny question because were they really away or they just go through a tough few weeks? But what do you think after they beat the Cowboys and have looked better, much better on defense the last few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, saying that they never left is kind of missing the point. They were in pretty bad shape. I mean, people had figured out Patrick Mahomes and he's adjusted to their adjustments. The defense was wretched. I mean, you know, you've got to come back if your defense is ranked 31st in a league of 32 teams, which theirs was for a long, long period of time. But yeah, I mean, they're coached by one of the best in the business. They've got some of the most talented players in the NFL on their roster. Of course they were going to bounce back, but yeah, they did have to fight their way through an ugly little stretch there. But I think it's safe to say that they are, as much as anybody in the league is now, they are quote unquote back.
Yeah, are they the best team in the AFC? How do we need to go any further into this? I just feel like everybody that we kind of put in front of the Chiefs has fallen short over the past couple of weeks. So is it Chiefs because they deserve it or Chiefs by default?
A little bit of both. I mean, all you got to do to win in the AFC at this point is just win the games you're supposed to win. that seems to be enough. I mean, the Titans are still up at the top of the standings. But, yeah, when you get taken to the woodshed by the Texans like they did last week, I mean, that stings. You know, that's not the kind of thing that you can just say, oh, we had a bad week. Same with the Bills losing to the Jags a couple of weeks back. So you've got to have serious concerns about a team that can fall apart that badly for that sustained period of time. There's a difference between going down, you know, losing a quarter or a half and then losing an entire game that way. So, yeah, I mean, the Chiefs, I think almost by default, they've got so much talent there that they could just kind of stick around. As long as they win the games they're supposed to win, they're going to be in good shape for the postseason.
Jay Busby's with us, Yahoo Sports. And, you know, we're several weeks away, until we get to the postseason. But, I mean, it's week in, week out where we've been asking you, what do you make of these results where the Bills look really good 1 week, the Cowboys had a tough couple of weeks with a really impressive showing sandwiched in between, Aaron Rodgers' toe situation now popping up with the Green Bay Packers. So are we set up for one of the most wide-open races toward the postseason? What do you think with the NFL right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that you've got so many more, you've got two more teams eligible for the playoffs now makes it that much more of a fascinating run. It, you know, adds that much more to the pool of teams that can make the postseason, and it keeps that many more teams like within a game or two, so that when we get down to week 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, which we have to remember now, then that's the point where you can start to see teams that are still sticking around, and all of a sudden, you win your final three games in your division, boom, all of a sudden you might sneak into the playoffs. You know, there are a few teams that could fit that bill. So it's going to be fun to see teams that kind of get their act together here. A team like, I don't know, like the Philadelphia Eagles is a team that's trying to put it together. They're probably, unless Dallas completely collapses, not going to win the division, but they can very easily sneak in the back door and make the playoffs. And then, you know, with every team playing that first weekend except for the number one seed, chaos can happen. You know, it's always possible that something weird can happen. So, yeah, I think that we are in for a really, really exciting season. As long as you are not rooting for a specific team to win, I think this is going to be a great NFL postseason.
Jay, we're already starting to see some smoke around a couple of different teams. You had the Giants firing offensive coordinator Jason Garrett today. There's rumors in Chicago that Matt Nagy is on his way out. Just what do you make of the coaching carousel that's about to get fired up here in the NFL, and who do you think is going to be the first head coach to fall?
I like that. You know, I like the idea that it's like looking at, you know, a NASCAR car, and you can see, oh, there's smoke coming out the back. There's something that's going to go wrong, and then boom, the tire explodes, and it shreds the entire car. So, yeah, that's the tire has exploded on several of these cars already. And so, obviously, I think that Nagy is the runaway favorite for the first to be fired. He might not even make it till Sunday. Beyond that, I mean, it's tough because so many of the teams where you think that the guy would get fired, he was just hired, and you want to give him some measure of a chance. Or they're playing, like in Denver, they're playing well enough, they have enough good moments to hang on and kind of stave off that firing cane that's coming for them. So I don't know. It's going to be fun to see, but, you know, there will obviously be a rash of firings just like there were in college football. But I don't know that there's going to be that many high-profile jobs the way that there are in college football right now that are available.
Jay, before you go, this is a sports talk radio show, so obviously we have to ask you about food. Any favorites or any lessons you've learned over the years on the Thanksgiving holiday just a couple of days away?
Yeah. I am grilling turkey this year. I tried it last year and it went well, so I'm doing it again this year. I was literally just buying the charcoal when just dropping it off here in the house when I got the call to be on the show today. So I am ready to go on that. If you can grill the turkey, I would strongly recommend it. I would strongly recommend also that you have a backup turkey in order to so if you screw it up, you still have an option. But yeah, I'm going to start early Thursday morning, get the coals fired. Big game changer, grilled turkey. So that's my tip.
Do you have to do it with the drip pan? Are you basting? Just what does this turkey look like for you? Is it a 4 a.m. start and a really low grill? What does it look like, Jay?
Yes. Yeah, you baste it the night before, and then I'll probably even start the baste tonight. And then you have a drip pan underneath it. You have indirect heat going about 325, anywhere from about 3.5 to 4 hours. So this is not like a long-term smoking with barbecue, but you've got to be there. You got to be close by for a while, but it's not one of these pre-dawn things. So yeah, it is an effort, but it is a worthwhile effort.
That's real football guy mindset too with the turkey. You want a backup turkey, you got to have turkey depth.
Turkey depth.
Exactly. Exactly. You never know. Your starter could screw up. Your starter may not have it that day. So sometimes you got to go to the veteran.
That's right. Who's healthiest at the end? That often determines the championship. That'll be the case this holiday season as well. Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, Jay. We appreciate you as always. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again here soon.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Take care.
Thanks, Jay. Jay Busby joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
I love it, and he's absolutely right. Ask Clark Griswold how deflating that turkey was. Got to have the backup. This is the star of the show. The turkey is the star.
I'm ready for Christmas movie season, too.
I am, too.
Yeah, let's load up.
Yeah, this sounds so sad, but I was scrolling the IG, and, you know, they just start feeding you what you want to see.
Sure, yeah.
Terry Hatcher, who I was a huge fan of on Desperate Housewives, in a new Hallmark Christmas movie. Oh, my gosh. If I have to become one of those Hallmark people, I'm just going to roll my eyes at myself.
What, you said that in a negative tone. I celebrate the entire Hallmark Christmas catalog.
Some of them are just absolutely absurd, but I'm kind of here for it at this point.
It's like Ohio State's receiver room. It's just a bunch of first-round picks. That's what it is.
I like it. I'll take it. By the way, I feel like you're validating my life choices, and I appreciate that.
As it relates to the Hallmark Channel, yes. A quick note on that. The Biletnikoff finalists came out, top three receivers for the award. None of them are Ohio State because they essentially canceled each other out with how good they have been. One of the finalists is Jameson Williams at Alabama, who transferred to Bama this offseason from Ohio State because he had a tough time getting on the field there because of all their great wide receivers. So because he left the room that was so loaded to go to a room that had to replace all those guys that went to the NFL, he ends up becoming a finalist for the Biletnikoff Award, while those three guys that were all ahead of him last year and had incredible seasons, not finalists for the award.
If they could just let us know what it looks like from the top, the view must just be fantastic. Yeah. It just must be a nice place.
Yeah, I feel like the position is just getting deeper in college football, but this year especially, so much talent around the country, a wide receiver. It's really incredible.
Yeah. I wonder, too, because without so many marquee quarterbacks, that we were talking about this going into the draft, like, is Matt Corral really a first-round guy? And you can see some mocks where he might be a top-10 pick. I mean, it's not the strongest quarterback year, but you are seeing just huge wide receiver production. What does that mean? It's interesting.
Yeah, well, of course, at Ohio State and Bama, those are your two Heisman finalists. They're not draft eligible.
Yeah.
So in a year, there might be a different conversation there. We'll come back for a final segment. We have the Power Poll coming up. We're going to have the top five college basketball teams in the nation when we come back with the Power Poll presented by 865 Axe. We'll wrap things up and draw two qualifiers with Bud Light's New Year's in Nashville giveaway. The grand prize giveaway is next week. We'll draw two qualifiers right here at Food City, 7350 Clinton Highway, when we come back on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back for the final segment of Sports 180. Heather, it has been a lot of fun here today at Food City on Clinton Highway in Powell. Appreciate everybody who has stopped by and registered with Bud Light's New Year's in Nashville. Said hello. Big thanks to Food City for hosting.
Yes, huge thanks to Food City. Todd, all the great people that keep this machine running here at Food City. They are ready for you to stock up on all of your Thanksgiving goods. Don't forget, you can't buy wine on Thanksgiving, so make sure you swing by. Get you some wine. Get you some Bud Lights. Thanks to our friends, they've got a 24-pack of cans for $19.99 with your Food City value card. Michelob Ultra, Bud Light Peels, or Landshark. The 12-pack of 12-ounce cans or bottles are $13.99. You can get a 12-pack of cans, Bud, or bottles. This is Bud Light or bottles, $12.99 with the card. And then they're funky beers, like I like to call them, the Elysian or the Wicked Weed variety. This is 12-pack of 12-ounce cans, $18.99 with your Food City value card. So lots of great deals going on here for you to get stocked up, ready for all that company to come in town. And then also, we decided to do steaks tonight for dinner. Yeah, get a little steak action. Save the white meat for later in the week. Let's go with some red meat tonight. New York strip steak, the family pack, $9.99 per pound. This is certified Angus beef in their butcher shop here at Food City with your value card. So lots of great deals going on, getting ready for the holiday.
All right. This is just a great week. We do have the holiday going on. We have a lot of sports fun. that's available. So good times. Eli Drinkwitz continuing to take shots at Dan Mullen. How about that? You don't see that very often.
Yeah. So not only after Missouri wins in overtime over Florida does he say, "May the force be with you," in his postgame presser, he doubles down today. He's like, "You reap what you sow. If you sow kind or reap sow kindness, you reap kindness. If you sow jackass, you reap jackass." Like, that is just nuts. I cannot believe a sitting Power 5 coach would have a comment like that hanging out there, but I'm here for it. That is well, welcome to the SEC, Eli Drinkwitz. I love this.
Yeah, so there you have it. I don't know what's next for Dan Mullen, but I'm guessing joining Eli Drinkwitz's staff next year is not it.
No kidding. Is there going to be room for him to be a play caller on Alabama staff when Bill O'Brien takes the Florida job?
I don't know. Who do you want Florida to hire? Like, any coach that you've heard, you say, I'd give that.
Like a Dave Clawson. I want them to have to go because I think he's on the second tier. So there's no shade in that. I mean, good luck to him.
I feel
him.
Like there's a little shade.
I'm sorry. Well, I mean, I just think, you know, if you're second tier, it's fine. You're still in the mix.
Okay.
Somebody's got to say no, though, for him to get the job, right? But so, like, somebody like a Dave Clawson, that wouldn't strike fear. I think he could do a nice job there, but I think it would be open for Tennessee to kind of close that gap that has emerged over the past few years.
I don't think Dave Clawson's going to be Florida's coach.
I don't think so.
If I just had to guess. I'd hire John Wilkerson. He joins us now getting ready for Sports Talk coming up at 3. John, hello.
Hello, and I promise you I would run that program straight into the ground. So I would openly accept the opportunity.
I don't doubt that you would, John. Better than I could, potentially, because we both could make quite a run at it. Getting ready for Sports Talk coming up. Busy afternoon ahead. Before that, let's hit today's Power Poll. All righty, John, we're going to take a stab at this. Still very early in the season, so hard to figure out whose resume says what to this point. Our top five college basketball teams around the nation. Would you like to lead us off?
Oh, around the nation. I misread that. I thought it was SEC. So if you don't mind, if you would go first.
Yeah, we can do that. I apologize. I said the nation on air. We probably said SEC off air. So
no, you said the. I'm sure you said the nation. I just assumed, which we know is always dangerous. So see, I reaped what I sowed. I reaped jackass. But
I texted you top five SEC basketball teams. So I guess that just makes me the doofus of the day.
But what?
The doofus, John Wilkerson. Ah. So feel free to lead us off with your top five SEC basketball teams.
Okay, well, if you guys can pivot, I very much appreciate that. Number five, I would go with Auburn. Number four, I would leave Tennessee in that spot. I would have Arkansas 3. I'd put Kentucky 2 and Alabama 1.
All righty, Heather Harrington, your top five SEC basketball teams.
Like John, that's where I had pivoted first. So I was sitting there thinking, okay, Gonzaga, UCLA, and go. No. So coming in at number five, I did it a little different. I went with the best win at the top of my power ranking. So here we go. Arkansas comes in at number five. I've got Alabama at number four. The Kentucky Wildcats at number three. I put Tennessee at number two with their win over UNC. KenPom has UNC the 53rd ranked team in the country. And I put Florida number one with that win over Florida State and being undefeated. That was a nice win for the Gators, and they're off to a hot start.
Yeah, they look good, and they had to retool that roster, and so far it's a solid look. So I have Kentucky number five. They're going to move up, I have a feeling, but the resume just isn't there yet. But that collection of talent, they're coming together, I'd say, more easily than they did last year. I have Florida number four because I still wonder how good is the team, but the resume off to a good start. That win against Florida State, really impressive. I have Arkansas number three. I have Tennessee number two. And I have the Alabama Crimson Tide number one. Long way to go, and all the SEC teams, I think, are in the very early stages of trying to build the resume up. Like the in KenPom, the highest-rated team that Alabama's played is 62nd in the country, South Dakota State. So better competition to come for the Tide and most teams, I would say, in the SEC. So I'm not going to ding Tennessee too much for the loss against Villanova because many teams haven't even played a team as good as Villanova. That is our Power Poll, the top five SEC teams in basketball. The Power Poll every day is presented by 865 Axe. That's where Knoxville goes to throw, 865axe.com is where you can find them online.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy, game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.